Troll Scroll.
Aloha, everybody. Welcome to episode 9 of your Elder Scrolls Online podcast, Troll Scroll. We are thrilled to have each and every one of you here. My name is Tom Powers, and boy, do we have a big show ahead of us this evening. Before we dive into the announcements, let's see how our co-hosts are doing. My fellow Michigander, that French guy, Tim LaPerriere.
Hey, guy. What's going on?
Nothing. You know, you're really not a fellow Michigander if you don't live here.
Yeah. That.
I'm just saying. I mean, technically speaking, you're born in Michigan, so I guess you could say you're fellow Michigan origin brother.
Okay, my fellow American.
There you go. Howdy.
I'm doing well. How are you doing, guy?
I'm doing phenomenal, actually.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. I'm excited. Excited to do a podcast.
Yeah, there you go. And my fellow Floridian. Maybe that's more accurate, Tim. Floridian. Dan the Man. Waterstaff Man. How you doing, bro?
Doing good, Tom. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thanks for asking, guy. What did you do today?
I went to class. That's about it.
Oh, cool.
Dan lives an exciting life.
It was not fun today. It was very boring. Nothing special.
He's being humble.
I'm sorry to hear that, Dan. Sorry to hear that. we'll make it unboring starting now.
Good.
Congratulations to Jim from Albany, California, who won the Nameless Mage Contest. The final name was, and I'm probably going to kill the pronunciation here, but it was Melkar Valos. Interesting. And they have a whole deposition on the ElderScrollsOnline.com, on the official website, that sort of gives you an in-depth write-down on the background of this NPC character. I thought it was really cool. I thought Melkar Valos, I saw that name, and there was like a light bulb in my head that went off. And I remembered... And I'm not going to spoil the show or anything, but this name is very, very, very similar to the name in Game of Thrones, of a character in Game of Thrones Season 2, the guy that's the face shifter. And I remember I was talking to Dan, holy crap, that was crazy. We were talking about that and how it was so different. Like in Game of Thrones, the guy's like, his name's like Valoris or something, Morgal or something. So it was interesting. I wonder if Jim from Albany got some inspiration from George R. R. Martin. That would be really cool. Just saying. But anyways, congratulations, Jim from Albany, California. Well done. 3 claps for the governor. Yeah, there you go. Another thing to announce is Troll Scroll has switched over entirely on the podcast platform. We have a totally new feed on iTunes. The reason why we made the switch is because Podbean.com could not fulfill our satisfactory wants and needs at all. So I just want to say, if you plan on making a podcast, do not go through Podbean.com. I'm totally calling them out. I'm totally, you know, pitching them out. Do not go through Podbean.com if you want to make a podcast, because it's a pain in the butt and their customer service sucks to a T. So, yeah, we are going to have our podcast on Podomatic.com now. That's going to be our new hosting provider. There's going to be a new feed on iTunes. So if you're a subscriber, please transition over to that new feed. What I'm going to do with the Podbean feed is keep it up for a couple weeks, and then I'm going to totally shut it down. So please make that transition. Please subscribe on our new Podomatic feed. I'm sort of nervous about this whole podcast transition we're having between our service providers, because I don't want to lose you guys as people who follow the show and stuff or are subscribed to our feed. Yeah, so last week the TESO community teams and development team started something. It's called the Developer Question of the Week, and we're going to sort of go through this. We're going to look at the question. Questions, because we're behind on the last week's, and we're going to answer them on the show from now on to the best of our ability. So last week, the question was, and I'm going to cue it up for you right now so you can hear it.
Hi, my name is Greg Roth, and I'm a senior content designer here at ZeniMax Online Studios working on The Elder Scrolls Online. Manimarco has been a villain throughout the Elder Scrolls series, appearing in games like Daggerfall and Oblivion, and he's also making an appearance in Elder Scrolls Online as one of your primary antagonists. Who is your favorite villain in the Elder Scrolls series, and why?
Okay, so we got that question. That was from senior content designer Greg Roth. Asked us the question, who is your favorite villain in the Elder Scrolls Online franchise, I guess you could say. Paraphrasing a little bit. Tim, let's start with you, man.
Well, this is tough now, because I guess I'm gonna have to, it's gonna sound very, very cliche because of him being pretty much the main villain in The Elder Scrolls Online, but I'd have to go with Molag Bal because he's sort of a jerk. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, some of the Daedric princes aren't actually completely evil or evil. You know what I'm saying? Like, you meet some of them that are, I guess you could call them nice, but yeah, he's just all around a douche. Yeah. He doesn't care. And I kind of like that about him, because his story is interesting when you read up on him in the lore and stuff like that. And you know, playing, because you get to meet him in Skyrim, sort of. And, you know, the quest that you do for him is pretty cool. So, yeah, I'd have to go with him.
Okay. All right. Dan the Man, what about you, bro? What do you think? Who is your favorite villain from The Elder Scrolls?
I would have to agree with Tim on this one. I like Molag Bal just because of what we think the story is going to be in The Elder Scrolls Online, with him having to have help from the King of Worms and manipulate the Imperial to help take over Tamriel.
Interesting. Okay. I'm surprised none of you... what makes you guys... How about this? Because My favorite villain is Alduin, and that might change because of The Elder Scrolls Online and when I find out more about Molag Bal. But I know you guys have briefly encountered Alduin from Skyrim. What made you guys like Molag Bal better than him? I mean, he's a dragon. Come on.
The fact that I haven't beaten Skyrim yet, and I haven't fully experienced Alduin. And when I say I haven't beaten Skyrim yet, okay, I know that's sort of like breaking the 11th commandment when doing a podcast based around an Elder Scrolls game, but I just haven't gotten to the ending of the main story yet. I've probably put in several hours or anything, you know what I'm saying? But the point is, I haven't beaten Skyrim yet. I haven't gotten to the end in the main quest because I'm trying to savor it, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. That's why I chose Molag over Alduin.
Okay.
It's nothing personal.
Yeah.
I'm sure Alduin's terrifying. I'm sure he's threatening.
Oh, he makes you shiver in your boots.
Right. I just, yeah.
Okay, Dan, what about you, man? What's your sort of explanation? It's your defense for your choice in Molag Ball.
I don't know. I just like Molag a little bit more because he's kind of trying to be sneaky and kind of being like tricky and tricked in perils and manipulation. And in real life, for some reason, I just have some weird obsession with lies and deception and stuff like that. So I have to go with Molag just for that reason.
That you have an obsession with lies?
Wow.
Dan, are you a compulsive liar?
No, but I've watched...
That's what a compulsive liar would say.
I've gone Paul Ekman's books. I just love lying and all that stuff.
What, you love lying?
So basically what Dan's saying is he likes scheming in politics.
Absolutely, yeah. I like that.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that sounds a little bit more better than I love lies and deception.
It's science, dude. It's all about the science.
Science, yeah, sure.
I'm being serious. The face.
So do you just lie to people, Dan, just to see how they react or to see what you can get away with?
Well, if you get, sometimes it depends. You can't always get away because of duping delight. And that's when you know a lie's worked and you smile and you don't want to. It just happens. And people know you're lying because of that. That's one way.
Oh, great. Well, we don't want to promote the message of lying on a Trollscrow.
Great.
So we're going to move on to our next question of the week. Our next question of the week is this. Queuing it up now.
Hi, I'm Todd Yarbrough, the effects lead for Elder Scrolls Online. The Ebonheart pack features many areas and monsters from previous Elder Scrolls games, including Skyrim and Morrowind. What monster from those areas are you looking forward to?
Okay, boys and girls. Welcome back. Welcome back. This week, our effects lead, Todd Yarbrough, I apologize if I pronounce that incorrectly. He asks us the question, what is your favorite monster? Well, not favorite monster, but what monster are you looking forward to seeing that is either from Morrowind or Skyrim and you want to see in Tiso? Demlapir.
I'm going to go with the Saber Cat or whatever. You know what I'm talking about from Skyrim?
Dude.
Okay, because those things, when I'm riding through the mountains, right? Like I said, I still haven't beaten the game yet, but I've probably put in over a couple hundred hours into the game because I do like all the side quests. So I'll be like shimmying through the mountains and whatever. And I'll be like, oh, sweet. I'm going to go find this awesome dwarven city or whatever. And all of a sudden, Sabercat just comes out of nowhere and mauls my horse, kills him because I don't have Shadowmere, kills my horse, then I'm all like, okay, cool. And then he mauls me. I don't die, because, I mean, I'm Dragonborn, I don't die, I'm awesome. But, dude, they're so freaking... At a low level, they're pretty tough to kill. They're pretty tough to kill. I mean, obviously when you get better gear and stuff like that, I mean, it's not too much of a challenge. But, you get what I'm saying. It's... That or the giants... The giants are pretty cool, too.
The giants. So,
because I don't know if it's still in the game, but I know there used to be a glitch when a giant killed you with, like, his giant club. When he whacked you, you would go flying, like, across Skyrim. So the guy would, like, tee you up and, like, hit a grand slam with your body, and it was hilarious. But, yeah.
So you, like... You like the giants because they got
I like giants because of a glitch. Yeah, I like giants because of a glitch, and I like saber cats because, well.
Yeah, the saber.
They slaughter my horses and.
Insane, dude.
Yeah.
I hate those things. I hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Dan the man, what about you, bro?
I'm all about the bears. I want to see the bears make a comeback.
Chicago Bears, or are we talking about?
The bears.
We're talking about any type of bear.
Bears.
Any type of bear. I don't care. In the game, when I was playing, if I saw a bear, doesn't matter if something was so important, I'd go off and kill that bear. I made it my duty to take that bear down.
What's wrong with you and bears?
I don't know. I've just always had a weird obsession with bears as well. I don't know. I just love them.
All right, let's get this straight.
This show's more about Dan's obsessions than
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, Dan has obsessions online. With lies, deceptions, and bears.
Yeah, when I was young, for some reason, I would instead of just saying lol, I'd say lol bears. I don't know what it was about. I just love bears.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop. Okay. All right. So Dan wants to see bears. I don't know if bears is only Skyrim and Morrowind. habitat, but okay, that's cool. Cool. I'm looking forward to see the Istro. So moving right along, guys. Let's jump into the we got two sort of Q&A sessions between TESO community members and fans like us who were given the opportunity to ask the TESO development team or community team questions related to the Ebonheart Pact. We got this community Q&A session in two parts. And what we did is we got the questions that were most intriguing, and we're going to go through those right now. We're not going over every single question, not even the majority of them, but we are going over a handful of them that I think everyone could sort of find interesting. So let's start with our first one. We got a question by Jeremy Eddy. Basically, he asked, I've read that anyone can use any type of weapon or armor. Have you thought about having alliance-only weapon/armor styles? For example, Chitin armor available only to the Ebonheart Pact players, since they have exclusive access to Chitin and Morrowind. This was asked by Jeremy Eddy. And the development team said, armor in the Elder Scrolls Online is regionally appropriate, whether it's a loot drop, merchant stock, or quest reward. However, with the right skills and materials, you'll be able to craft items in any racial style.
I think it sort of takes away a little bit from the identity of each faction if they allow us to wear other factions' armor. I mean, I like the idea just from a gameplay standpoint so that we can, you know, wear armor that we think looks cool. So if you're playing Altmeri Dominion and you think some Ebonheart Pact armor looks pretty cool, you know, instead of having to reroll a character just to wear their armor, you can actually wear their armor. Because I guess realistically, there's nothing keeping you from putting on an enemy's set of armor. It might look weird. People might brand you as a traitor or whatever, or mistake you for the enemy. But the point is, you know, from a gameplay standpoint, I can see why they did it. But again, I just think it takes away from the identity. You know, we look at games like Tor, a lot of their armor sets were based around their class because they wanted the players to feel like they were their class, okay? And they wanted each class to have its own sense of identity. Well, if we take factions' sense of identity away and everybody can look like other factions, how are you going to tell who's on what faction? I mean, yeah, you can because of the red name over their head, probably, and other features. But I mean, when you first take a glance at somebody, you're not going to be able to necessarily distinguish, not always at least, if they allow this, which it sounds like obviously they are, you know, who's a part of what faction.
Well, so. If they say, see, this is, I don't know, they said armor in the Elder Scrolls Online is regionally appropriate. That was the first thing they said. And then the last part of that response was, you'll be able to craft items in any racial style. But is that saying any racial style within the faction or any racial style of every race in Tamriel?
I think they're implying every racial style, any race within the Elder Scrolls Online. So if you're an elf, you can craft Nord armor and vice versa.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't understand. It seems contradictory to also the point of why they're faction locking areas, because they want players to have a sense of patriotism and identity to their faction. But this is one thing that could totally defeat that. I mean, not totally defeat it, but to pretty much.
I mean, it puts a chip in it. Yeah.
Dan the Man, what's your take, bro?
I wish that if you're a part of one faction, you have a certain type of armor, and if someone else in another faction, that they have their own type of armor. I don't care if theirs is cool, because mine's obviously going to be cooler. So, I don't know. I just feel like I don't like it. I like if I have a cool chest plate, only I can have that cool chest plate, and someone else might else have a cool chest plate.
Right. I mean, you got other games that both factions can wear the same sets of armor. Okay. WoW has similar sets. If not, you can get the exact same set of armor, whether you're playing Alliance or Horde. So, I mean, and there are some sets that are faction specific. So maybe they'll have faction specific armor too. Higher end gear that might be, you know, only locked into your faction that you have to buy from vendors via doing, you know, RVR or something like that. But yeah, as for loot drops and stuff like that, I could see where, you know, some of that gear might cross over. And obviously with the crafting, I could see where you might be able to craft some of the same sets of gear. But I just hope that they have, some sense of identity when it comes to how your character looks. Because like you said, it takes away from their whole pride and patriotism when they lock us out of the faction or faction zones, because they want to create that sense of pride and patriotism. And then they turn around and they're like, oh, but you can wear the enemy's armor. And you're just like,
See, I'm wondering, okay. I wish they answered this question a little better. It doesn't make sense to me, because how are players from other factions even going to get access to the different factions' enemy armor? Because they said that it's regionally appropriate based on loot drop, merchant stock, or quest reward. So how are other players even going to get access to that armor? Is it just going to be over the auction house or something? Or is the crafting system going to be everyone's crafting system? No different than based on faction?
Well, maybe there's like some type of study thing that you have to do. So maybe when you kill someone, you can study the armor that they had, and then you can go back and you've learned it, so you can craft it. Maybe something like that.
There's lore that they, I mean, they could tie it into the story somehow.
Okay.
You know, like what Dan said is a perfect example. I was going to say that too. You know, you kill somebody, their corpse is lying on the ground, you can study what their, quote unquote, study what their armor looks like. Is that what they're going to do? Yeah, probably not. But it's a possibility. And if they wanted to tie that into the story, they could tie that into the story, you know.
Yeah. Weird. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not feeling too enthusiastic about that whole mechanic. Next, where's the main base of the Ebonheart Pact? In which city will we find Jorin, the Skald King? And this was asked by Douglas Reese Silva. And another thing, guys and gals, is they being the community team, unveiled sort of a cool story excerpt of Jorin the Skald King, one of the main leaders of the Ebonheart Pact. Check that out on theelderscrollsonline.com. We're going to talk about that possibly next week, more in depth. And the response to this question, where is the main base of the Ebonheart Pact? The throne of Eastern Skyrim is in Windhelm, but the great city of Mournhold is the capital of the Ebonheart Pact. And it is where Jorin presides over the Great Moat. So the reason why I brought up this question is the question, you know, yeah, it's an interesting question. Okay. We know where Jorin resides. But I thought that this was an interesting question because do you guys think, is this confirmation that each race will have their own city? Because they talk about having Windhelm too. Or not even just each race, but there will be numerous player cities that players can reside in. Or do you think that this capital city, like Mournhold, is going to be the only city with the usual universal stuff, like the auction house, bank, guild bank, all that stuff, class trainers, like there are cities in other MMOs? Or do you think Windhelm will have that sort of same stuff too? You know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm asking?
I
think...
Go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, I think that they'll have one designated city that's based around having like all that stuff in there. So the auction house, your crafter, trainers, your ability trainers, so on and so forth, with what little abilities that you have to start off with. But you get the idea. I think they'll have one city with all that stuff, and they'll have other cities, smaller cities, with stuff like that too, but one city will be focused kind of towards pushing all the players together. So I mean, and even if they don't do that, one city is going to be chosen as quote unquote the main capital city if they have several, you know, large cities. Because you look at other games that have that similar setup where they have multiple cities per race or whatever. And players always end up choosing one of the main cities as sort of the main city to be. So whether or not ZeniMax develops it that way, players are going to find a city that works best for them and everybody's going to congregate there eventually. So
I agree with Tim, what he said. There's going to be one main city where everything takes place, where there's the auction house and the guild bank and all that stuff. But I think there'll be other cities and they'll maybe put one feature in each city or something. Just that way they have another place to go if they don't want to be with a bunch of people where they might be annoyed or something. They're trying to do something by themselves.
Okay. Alrighty. Next question is, hi, I've been playing the Elder Scrolls game since Morrowind and I have always played as an Argonian. Now that I've seen the screenshot on your website called Argonian Soldiers, I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping for a more lizard amphibian looking Argonian. I assume their faces are flat for helmet modeling, but I hope they'll look more like the one on the Ebonheart Pact page. Also, they should have badass horns. So can you tell me, is this the final version of the Argonian? By Rofaka. And I know I brought this up a couple episodes ago, a few episodes ago. How I was a little bit disappointed in the character motto of the Argonian. But this sort of brings me comfort. Tiso, the ZeniMax Online team, says customization of individual characters will allow for much more variety than we've been able to convey in the screenshots released so far. Also, we're still fine-tuning the ESO character models, including the Argonians. Yay!
I like them all. I mean, the Argonians is the only one that kind of stood out as being different than the previous games. But then again, with Skyrim and Oblivion, the Argonians have changed every single game. So I kind of, I guess, got used to it, you could say. But on a serious note, I mean, they look very similar to previous games. So I have no complaints.
Last time we had the chance of discovering the land of Morrowind, the different feelings of the Great Houses and the House Wars was one of the most intriguing aspects of the game. Will we have an opportunity to join the houses? If so, which of them will be joinable? I just so loved the Mushroom Houses. This was asked by Greg. And this is interesting. I haven't played a Morrowind, but this whole house system... Well, let me just read on. The rivalries between the Dunmar Great Houses have deep roots, and they are all important players in the politics of Morrowind. In fact, House Tovani, they of the Mushroom Towers, are estranged from the other houses at the time of ESO and refuse to join the Ebonheart Pact. We'll share more about that in the future. You can be sure your characters will have the opportunities to help or hinder all of the other great houses of Morrowind through formal adoption into their ranks. Won't be part of the game at launch. So post-launch, are they talking about something where you could almost claim loyalty to one of these houses? Is this almost like not joining a guild, but is it sort of similar? You know what I'm saying? Or is this going to just be like the Elder or Scryer quest choice you can make in World of Warcraft Burning Crusade? Where you join a house, but it's basically right. You join this quest line and you can't do the other.
Right. I've played games too, other MMOs where they have similar quests like that. I hope that if they do allow you to join a house, it's more in depth than just, oh, look at me. I have a title. Like, you know, it's just kind of lame. You know, you get a title and then you get like a really cheap piece of gear that you're never going to use because it's terrible and you can't modify it or anything like that. So there's no point in wearing it or showing it off. So ultimately the entire thing is useless. I hope that if they do that, it's deeper. You know, you don't want to give the players obviously a huge advantage or any advantage over other players that don't join that specific house or don't join a house at all. But you want to give them some sort of motivation or benefit of joining that house. You know, whether that gives you gear that you can, like we were talking, I think last week about how you could get gear that you can modify so that you could wear what you want to wear and look how you want to look. You know, if they give us something like that, or I don't know, something that gives players motivation to do the quest line, join up with that house, and they can show off their achievements.
I never played Morrowind, so I don't know what they're talking about with the mushroom things, but I think it would be cool to join a house. You could be a part of something, but I agree with Tim where it would be cool if they gave you something that was worth doing it. But then again, going back on that, you can't be too powerful, because what if someone doesn't join a house or they join a different type of house? That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. See, I don't know how to take this. They're saying you can't do this. It won't be part of the game at launch. So does that mean that they're going to try focusing this house allegiance almost in a way that's just as in-depth as the other guilds that are being implemented into the Elder Scrolls Online post-launch? Or is it just going to be like dailies maybe? And if you, you know, align yourself with this house, then you do these dailies. And if you align with yourself with this house, then you do these different dailies. That's my question. Do you guys think that this is going to be legitimately like a guild, being a member of a new guild like the Dark Brotherhood or Thieves Guild, except it's with these houses? Or do you guys think it's just going to be choosing this quest chain rather than this one?
Well, since it seems like it would only be available to the Ebonheart Pact, if they did do something like that, where it was like joining another guild, such as the Thieves Guild of the Dark Brotherhood, I hope that they would give, you know, the Daggerfall Covenant and the Altmeri Dominion something similar to that. And I'm assuming that they would. If it's not, and it's just sort of just like a side quest chain where they can, you know, join up with a house and then they just get dailies that they can do. Okay. That would make sense. But I guess specifically to answer your question, I would assume that they would probably only do dailies, just because I could see them kind of giving you join up a house with a house and then they give you dailies like, oh, this house is attacking our front, you know, outpost or something like that, or we have a storage facility over here. Go over there and fend them off, and you have to go kill like 10 of their guys, and then, you know, the next part of the mission is go to their outpost and blow up some of their stuff or something like that. So yeah, I could see them going the daily route as opposed to a whole guild system, unless of course they add things like that to the other two factions to kind of balance it out.
Moving right along, with the faction PvE areas each have their own quest, or will they be mirrors of each other? This was asked by El Hefi. The TESOL team responded, each alliance and area has its own completely unique quests and storylines layered on top of their individual internal struggles and history. When we design content in TESOL, we aspire to create storylines, experiences, and characters that are befitting of the alliance they are a part of. Each alliance's content in TESOL is as varied and dynamic as the alliances themselves are. Your adventures as an Argonian in the Ebonheart Pact, for example, will be quite different than those of a Bosmer in the Altmeri Dominion. Should you choose to play characters in each of the three alliances, and we hope you do, you will experience completely different content that is representative of each alliance's story, history, and politics. Because in Skyrim, for example, when I don't think with Skyrim your stuff changed dramatically based on which race you played. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it sounds
no,
like
it didn't.
With this, it can.
Right. Well, I think it's not necessarily with your race, more so your faction.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Right. And that's cool, because that, I think that was one of the strong points of Tor, was that you could play both factions and none of the quests overlapped at all. They weren't similar in any way. They all had their own unique story. I mean, you know, you could play different races, like you played different classes within those factions, and some of the quests would overlap, obviously, and then your class story was completely different from all the other ones. But the point is, your story between the two factions was never overlapping per se. So it kind of gave you motivation to play other factions. And if not motivation, it took away from the repetitiveness of playing, you know, a faction and then going to the next faction and literally doing the exact same thing. You know, so I agree with you. It's definitely a relief, because if I do end up playing as an alt on a different faction, you know, just to roll with it, just to see how it is and to explore the other zones, it's going to be nice to have sort of a new breath of fresh air when going through those quest lines.
Yeah, I definitely think when you play on the main and then you play it through and then you go and play on an alternate character, it's like, oh, I have to do the same stuff over again. This kind of sucks. But when you do get a new faction, it's like you're playing a brand new game again, because there's new quests, different storyline. It's almost worth it. And you can play all three factions, and whatever one you like the most, you can go with them. So I think it's a great idea, because when you play Skyrim, it's just you get one character and it's basically the same story with all of them, as you said, just a little bit different. But with three different types of stories, it's almost like playing three separate games, kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. That's cool. That's cool. I'm relieved to hear that. Nextly, this might also entail the rest of the game, but how big will Morrowind be compared to how big it was in The Elder Scrolls III, which is Morrowind? I get that the landscape will be different, but will it still be the same size and have a similar layout? So it was asked by Ryan Burdich. The TESOL team responds, it's difficult to make a direct size comparison between the two, so they actually take place in different areas of Morrowind. The Elder Scrolls III Morrowind takes place on the northern island of Vivarden Fell. Jesus Christ, I'm sorry. In The Elder Scrolls Online, you'll get to explore Morrowind's mainland and see areas you've never seen before or haven't seen in the level of detail we're presenting it in. One such area is Dishan, the region of southern Morrowind that borders Black Marsh. That's not to say adventurers in The Elder Scrolls Online won't ever be able to visit Vivarden Fell. Vivarden Fell. Yeah. The reason why I thought this was interesting is because players will be able to see a whole new, brand new part of Morrowind that has never been seen before. And this question makes me wonder, and this answer that the TESOL team provided, is how many zones do you think are going to be expanded upon that we haven't seen from the regular console games and predecessors of The Elder Scrolls Online? Do you think that Skyrim, for example, might also have a totally new zone or element of territory added to it that we haven't played or experienced before?
It's always possible, and if not, I'm not sure. I think the majority of Skyrim was actually open to the game, but if I'm wrong on that, then yeah, it's definitely a possibility. And if I'm not wrong on that, and we did play pretty much all of Skyrim in Skyrim, I remember them saying that there are going to be different mounds, like dragon mounds and different ruins and stuff like that for us to explore too. So even if, you know, Skyrim isn't that much different than it was in the game, we're still going to have different places to explore. So it's not like you're going to be playing the exact same game again when you're running through Skyrim.
Yeah, 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 definitely. I think this is pretty cool, yeah. And I was just using Skyrim as an example. I don't know, Skyrim might not be expanded upon. Like, it sounds like Morrowind is, you know, you're going to be able to explore Morrowind's mainland, which has never been seen before. That's pretty big. That's pretty big feat, I think. That's huge. That's huge, right? That should be a huge piece of new content that no Elder Scrolls player has ever experienced.
I think it's a great idea. As I said earlier, it's more to explore. There's more to do in the game now. So people that did play Morrowind, they're like, oh, I've already been in this area, been there, done that type of thing. So let's kind of see what's new. But with them bringing in a whole new area, whoever played Morrowind's be like, oh, I want to go through all this, see all the differences, kind of if it's similar to the older part or if it's kind of different.
Well, yeah, and it gives the players that have been playing, like the hardcore Elder Scrolls players who have played almost all of the Elder Scrolls games, and that doesn't make you more hardcore. But the ones that have been loyal to the franchise and following the franchise longer than, say, we have, when we started it following it, like during the time of Oblivion, the players that played Morrowind will have something special and something new to explore when they come to the Elder Scrolls Online. And I know you could say that there's going to be something new to explore in every zone, even Skyrim. But going Morrowind players being able to go to the Morrowind mainland, and players who have been following the franchise for years and years and years actually have some sort of incentive now to come back and look into ESO and see these new territories as well, which I think is very cool. I think that's awesome. I think that's great. Okay, guys and gals, that is it. That is episode 9. Thank you for joining us on this evening. Had a blast. Tim, Dan, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
And Tim, where can people find out about Legion, the Troll Scroll Guild?
Oh, how? Glad you asked. They can go to legionhq.engine.com. legionhq.engine.com. Or, if you're on the Troll Scroll website already, you can go over to the link at the top of the page. It's actually a button. You click on the Join Legion page, and it'll take you to a page that explains about Legion and gives you the link to the website. So you can check us out there or on our main website and see if you're interested in joining. And if you are, send in an application. We'd be happy to talk to you and answer any questions that you might have about the guild.
Indeed. Sweet. You can follow Troll Scroll on Twitter for real-time updates and stay in the know on the Elder Scrolls Online. Follow us at Real Troll Scroll. Real Troll Scroll. You could search Troll Scroll on Facebook. We would love it if you would like us on Facebook. Search the keyword Troll Scroll. And, of course, visit trollscroll.com for all the news and information you need to know about the Elder Scrolls Online. We have all the important imperative updates on that website. Just a heads up, guys and gals, episode 10 was probable that was when we were going to introduce our video format to Troll Scroll. This might not happen. We don't know for sure yet based on something special coming up that we have planned. So we'll have to see. If episode 10 isn't the show we do our video format in, it will be episode 11. We promise. And then over Christmas break, over, I guess, winter break, whatever you want to call it, the next 3 weeks after next week, trollstro.com is going to be sort of it's going to be inactive. We're not just like ditching it, but we're going to be inactive because I'm going to be out of country, first of all. And then we have other guys. Dan's going home. Tim, you're going to be with your family. And I know our two writers, Cy and Ryan, I don't know if they're still going to be doing editorial content. We'll have to see. But 3 weeks after next week, TrollScroll.com will probably be inactive until the new year. I don't know for sure yet, though. So, guys and gals, please remember, our podcast platform has changed, which means if you are subscribed to our podcast on iTunes, we are not going to be adding new episodes to that subscription feed anymore. You're going to have to go to the new one, which I will link in the show notes below this episode. Otherwise, guys and gals, have a fantastic weekend. Be good and be safe. Farewell.
See you, Troll Scroll fans. Week.